You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290, 564-1290. Or you can reach Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, after the program at 898-4242, 898-4242, and at RadioRealEstate.com.
Welcome back. Jaron Piltz is the producer of the program. Today's guest, Paul Casey, Director of Community Development, City of Santa Barbara. And I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. Paul Casey, thank you so much for being here. There's a listing that just came up. Said it's for sale now, $1,095,000 over on the Mesa. Tremendous views. Well, who says you can't get a good deal in Santa Barbara? Tremendous views, unobstructed island mountain views over almost a third of an acre for only $1,095,000. Oh, wait a second. That's just land. There's not a house on this. No house. Here's why I brought it up. Sellers have spent 8 years getting approval to build a house, a three-bedroom, 2,500-square-foot house. Now, that's pretty unusual.
Yeah, that's awfully
long. I don't know what the story is there.
There must be complicating factors to that piece of property for something to take that long.
Living wage. That's just another quick comment here. Living wage, you're thinking about passing. When companies do business with the city of Santa Barbara and have over X number of dollars, $15,000, $12,000.
Yeah, they're still working
something
through.
About that.
Yep.
Then the city will essentially require their employer to pay the employee a certain minimum amount. So they're looking out. They're trying to look out for the people. I don't know how that's going to fly. But conversely, they want to prevent any Starbucks or major chains now from coming in. And I read that Starbucks actually provides tremendous health benefits for their employees. In fact, they went on record as saying that they cost more for health benefits than it does to buy the coffee, to sell the coffee. So it's kind of ironic, a little yin and yang. They want to do this living on, but then they're going to prevent people from getting good health benefits by preventing Starbucks, you know, to get the locals. So
There were some community folks who were proposing that idea. We haven't formally talked about
that. That's not a city thing.
No.
That's not going to happen then. So let's get into the general plan update. What is that? How often does it come up? And what are people expecting to see?
You know, this is a real exciting opportunity to talk about the future of Santa Barbara. It's something the community does once every 20 years or so. Last time the city of Santa Barbara really took it on was in the late 1980s. And what culminated out of that process was what we were talking about earlier, this commitment to mixed use in the downtown area, which has been very successful, but some people might say too much so. When everything new is $2 million condominiums downtown, what are we really getting from that? And the other thing that came out about 20 years ago, a little more, was Measure E. And Measure E was a restriction on commercial development. And so it was a recognition that we had too much commercial space and not enough housing in Santa Barbara. And so we had a little imbalance there. And one way to deal with that would be to have a growth control measure on the commercial development side to allow residential development to be built. It's been very successful. It was voted and approved by the voters, so it was put into our charter and could only be amended by another vote of the people. And so it provided certainty and has served us well, but it expires in 2009.
Now, let me ask you this. It limits the number of square feet per year that can be built in commercial development within the city limits. Among other things. But it doesn't, or does it change the zoning? In other words, if you have more area, land mass, zoned for commercial than you have for residential, will you not eventually have more commercial than residential?
That's a good question, Mark. Couple answers to it. Yes, there is more zoning capacity for commercial growth than what Measure E allows, which is one of the beauties of Measure E. It puts a little restriction on that if you don't have that, the ability for commercial growth is quite
unless
large.
Unless you own a property that's zoned commercial.
But here's the flip side, which was really smart by my planning forefathers and mothers, was allowing residential uses on virtually all commercial property in Santa Barbara.
Allowing
residential development on commercial properties pretty much anywhere in Santa Barbara except for the heavy industrial area down on the waterfront. But that's why you're seeing this mixed-use development downtown. It gives the property owner an option and really kind of creates an incentive to go towards residential, which was always the long-term vision of what we wanted to do. It's just that the residential market now, that the cost of housing is so outpaced people's ability to buy that we need to kind of rethink that question.
Well, I like that. I like that shift or that allowance or that fudge, mm-hmm. so to speak. Was that incorporated in Measure E or was that a separate thing?
No, it was separate, but it was all kind of part of that approach of creating a mixed-use environment and trying to promote residential development over time in Santa Barbara.
So 20 years later, I'm sure people involved, you know, who own property or building a residential, commercial, how is the average Joe going to be able to assess whether he should continue supporting and re-vote in Measure E? You know, this balance, I mean, has there been just enough commercial development built every year? Or people clamoring and saying, hey, I wanted to build this or I didn't get to build this? How are we supposed to know?
That's the question. We want to have that conversation with the community right now and talk about that, the future. What's the next 20 or 30 years want to be and where do we want to go? And so one of those questions will be, do you want to extend Measure E and have it keep going? I think it served the community really well. It gave certainty to the development community so that they understood what the rules are. And I think that's very important to them. You know, at least just tell me what the rules are and don't change them midstream. And so it did that. It created a lot of reuse of commercial buildings. You know, rather than demolishing and building a new project, you refurbished commercial buildings, which I think has been good. And what we're seeing now is that the value of residential development is so much greater than commercial development, that even if people had the ability to build commercial, they're wanting to build these mixed-use downtown projects that have some commercial on the ground floor and then residential above. So I think the question, though, is that the building model we want to go forward with? If prices are so astronomical for these new downtown condominiums, is that serving us well? And so where do we want to go with this next increment of growth over the next 20 or 30 years?
When does this have to be decided upon, this Measure E?
Well, preferably before it expires in 2009. So we are starting in the beginning of 2006 with some community outreach. You'll see workshops and notices for flyers to get people out and come talk about what their vision for the future is. We see this being probably a 2 to 3 year process of having that community dialogue and discussion, and then ideally have something back to the voters to kind of replace Measure E before it expires.
I know Jean Graffy, mm-hmm. former supervisor, city councilwoman,
that's right.
planner, has been on the program many times, but only after she lost her election. We only have losers on the program.
Thank you, Mark.
We never... No, of elected officials.
Oh, okay.
We don't have elected officials. I think we had an exception with the mayors at one time, had the mayor of Carp, Santa Barbara, and Goleta.
Right.
And I think also, who replaced Ken Pettit?
Joe Holland.
Joe Holland was on. I didn't really, you know, I guess he's an elected official, but mm-hmm. I didn't really see him. It just didn't count, you know. It's nice to be in charge of the program. I don't know. He just came on. But generally, I don't like, you know, I just don't start because then you don't know where to, you know, you don't know where to stop. But Gene Graffy talked about in the 80s when they literally, instead of limiting like Measure E does, they literally changed the zoning. They downzoned, which was another, I guess it's just another avenue to restrict.
That's right.
Is there anything on the books for changing the zoning, downzoning, upzoning, changing commercial to residential, vice versa? Anything being bantered about?
That is always a possibility when you kind of take this opportunity to look at where you want to go as a community.
The general plan.
Yep.
Now, 2009 expires, Measure E expires, general plan, is there a date when that needs to be?
No, there's no requirement for updating the general plan, but it's just it's time to do so, and Measure E expiring kind of created the impetus, and I just think as a community we're ready to have that discussion. You know, there's a lot of development occurring along our commercial corridors and in our neighborhoods, and some angst, I think, about what's this mean and where do we want to go, and so I think it's appropriate to take a step back and kind of have that dialogue and create a vision.
Maybe now, I was going to save this for the third segment, but since you're talking about where we're going, and it comes to mind the Ritz-Carlton and the Hotel California, or the California Hotel, the Bill Levy project.
Yes.
I've heard elected officials. In fact, let me just mention one quote I read in over the weekend from the Santa Barbara News Press, an elected official getting back to Measure E. And again, it dovetails into this, saying that no project should be approved unless it serves each and every person in Santa Barbara, unless it benefits each and every person in Santa Barbara. And that seemed to be, from an elected official, kind of a sweeping statement to make. I mean, it's kind of makes everyone maybe feel good a little bit, like, well, you know, I'm glad I'm going to be counted. But as Ty Warner can attest with his Coral Casino project, you get one person And then it is recently now with this double jeopardy and just, you know, coming back with all these, you know, appeals. You said it best, and again, a pat on the back to the city versus the county, where you have rules, developers, you know what you can do, you know where you can go, you just set those guidelines as opposed to this coming back. And so I don't know, that's a little concern, but since you're not an elected official, you might not want to comment on this because you have a job to protect.
That's right. You know, a couple things. I think we have a very thorough process that I think the community has supported over the years, and it's one reason why Santa Barbara is such a great place to live. But it's a certain process, and it's something we strive really hard to have some certainty. When you're dealing with appointed boards and commissions in the city council, though, they are ultimately the decision makers, and right. Rightfully so. And so sometimes there are twists in the road as you go towards an approval. I think one of the things the Planning Commission and Council lately have been talking about is what is the community benefit of a project? Not necessarily that it benefits each and every individual in the city, but what are the benefits? Is it near a creek? Is it doing some creek restoration? Does it include some affordable housing to try to get at that important need? Does it make some important pedestrian amenity improvements along a certain corridor? And so it's looking for those kind of community benefits and projects that I think is important to folks.
Well, it brings in mind to what I started to talk about, the Ritz-Carlton, mm-hmm. the famous four words, what were they thinking? You know, how many people in Santa Barbara are going to benefit from timeshares? I don't know why I just hate timeshares. I just do. It might be irrational. Would have loved to have seen condos or, I don't know, something that, you know, something I could sell. I can't sell timeshares. Right, but, you know, it might, I don't know. And so now I hear rumblings that people are kind of regretting that project was even approved. What's the status on that? When can we get an opportunity to, you know, is it possible that it might not go through?
Here's a couple things on that. One, it was approved just about 5 years ago, and approvals expire after 5 years. There's nothing that we can do administratively to extend those approvals. So unless they're prepared to pull a building permit by December 12th, that project will expire and not move forward. But there's still time. They've done a lot of work to be ready to pull permits. And so we're just going to have to wait and see till December 12th. It's really out of our hands at this point.
Well, that's very, very close.
Very close. But I'll just mention a couple things on the project. You know, whether you like the project or not, there are, I think people have to admit, a number of benefits of the project. They're building a parking structure which will have close to 100 public parking spaces down right next to Stearns Wharf and the waterfront, which is sorely needed. It'll have a public restroom right on State Street, which is sorely needed. It'll have a visitor center that the Chamber of Commerce will help operate. It extends the downtown plaza feel of State Street and the wide sidewalks down to that area at the project's expense. And so there are a number of community things that are going to happen on the developer's dime that will benefit folks. There's three kind of public plazas that will have restaurants that I think people will enjoy having dinner and kind of enjoying lower State Street and the wharf area. So regardless of your feeling, oh, and just one other thing you had mentioned, why wasn't it condos? That would have been better at least.
I know.
Residential isn't allowed there.
And right, the Coastal Commission.
Coastal Commission. Residential. So,
which is another group that needs to be reexamined.
So the city's hands were tied.
And your expression on the developer's dime, this is Santa Barbara, you need to up the ante a little bit. Let's see if we can find out if Bill Levy can build a bathroom for less than $500,000 to $600,000. He's going to put in public restrooms. God, what the heck is going on with that?
You know, that's the restroom right next to Borders. Just a perfect place for a restroom on State Street. We need to have more restrooms on State Street.
But has anyone kind of looked into why it's costing $500,000 to $600,000?
Oh, very much. I mean, the council's rejected a number of prior designs to try to get that cost down. Part of the difficulty is when you're building a public restroom, you got to use durable materials because these things get beat up. And so that increases your cost. The run to the sewer line was longer because you're kind of out on the street and the sewer was back of the property. So there are just a number of fundamental engineering things that you needed to do for a restroom that's going to be used quite a bit. And I think people will really appreciate having there.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, our phone number 564-1290, talking with Director of Community Development, City of Santa Barbara, Paul Casey. We'll come back for our third segment with him, reserving the fourth segment for the weekly multiple listing and sales update. We might talk a bit about this mansionization and view ordinance such as it is, and I don't know, we probably might have something more to say about the general plan update, and who knows what the hell will happen. Stay tuned, you'll be right back.